Welcome back to Evolution of a Snake. I'm Zach.
And I'm Madeline.
And today we're returning to you with a format that we haven't picked up in a while. This is called Tay Rewind, where we go through a period of time in Taylor Swift's past in detail, depth that we might not get to go into on a yearly episode. And today, you know who got put on the assignment? The Bone Collector.
Period. People hate it when I call myself that. I can't even make a joke anymore. I'm not allowed to tell. A man can laugh, a woman can only chuckle. I've discovered that.
A bone collector can only chuffle.
I can't jokingly call myself the chuckle. Bone collector. It's a joke. It's a movie. You're an adult. You should know that.
It's a joke about the Real Housewives. And if you were a fan, you would know that.
Oh my gosh. I forgot that was the etymology.
Sheree is the bone collector.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. This is how disconnected I am from Housewives. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot that.
You're back in the spirit today. And Madeline, what have you been collecting your bones on?
So I have been collecting the bones, the skeleton, frankly, of Ellen DeGeneres. We cataloged every single time over the years that Taylor went on the Ellen DeGeneres show. 10 years of Ellen appearances. I believe it's 13 or 14 times that she went on Ellen.
Quite the number.
I cheered personally. They are some great interviews. In amazing ways that are actually good and great in ways that are bad and cringe. And I cheer.
But very iconic.
Oh, this is back when she used to talk to us, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get that kind of thing anymore. Not anymore.
Some of her most revealing and humiliating moments have happened on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
And many such cases. Ellen used to publicly humiliate her guests at every possible opportunity.
And Ellen was the only one that ever really got Taylor on Smack Cam. We have to give that to her. She gagged her a little bit several times. Now, Taylor wised up towards the end. Towards the end, it was, now my publicist says you can ask these questions and not these ones. But at the beginning, she was getting Taylor left, right, and center.
It was anything goes. And we'll get into it. Oh, she loved it too. She hated it up.
She was gagging. So before, we'll also get into how her relationship with Ellen devolved and Ellen's demise a little bit. But before we get into that, we have to let you know that tour is so soon. Tour is literally, by the time this is out, I guess this month, more or less. So we are unbelievably excited to see you in New York, in Boston, in DC, in Nashville, in Atlanta, in Madison, in Chicago, in Seattle, in San Francisco, and in somewhere else that I've forgotten because I counted that out
Seattle.
On 10 figures. Los Angeles. Well, and you know what? The thing about Los Angeles is that if you are an international snake or you otherwise cannot attend one of the live shows, well, boy, do we have good news for you. Evolution of a Snake, live in Los Angeles, one night only, streaming live at your convenience for $15 at dynasty.tv. You can go and purchase your ticket to watch it live, but that ticket also enables you to watch it on demand after the show. So if you can't make it, but you still want to see the show, it won't be going on YouTube. It won't be going on Patreon. So that is how you're going to have to come and celebrate the Snares tour. We like to give the international snakes a bone, don't we?
Oh, we love it. We absolutely love giving the international snakes a little bone to chew on. We even put peanut butter in it too. That's for you.
Yeah. And the UK Ireland snakes, you just hang on because we're going to be giving you more than a little morsel sometime soon. But also we have to let you know as well, look, all the announcements we have today. Tour merch, evolutionofasnake.com, the same place you go to get your tickets, is the same place you go to get your iconic tour merch designed by the prolific Kel Lauren. We're obsessed with these looks. We're obsessed with these. They're so
amazing.
Cute. I need everything in every color. And I hope that you buy them.
You need to buy them. That's all there is to it. You absolutely need to buy them.
If you don't, you're dead.
We're shaking the cup.
Do you think that organizing shows is free? It's not. I can tell you that.
No. A lot of lessons has been learned about how unfree it all is.
Mm-hmm. But you got to pay to play.
You have to break a couple eggs to make an omelet. Am I right?
And that goes for you too. At home, you have to pay to play. So, without further ado, Madeline, take us away. Let's get into this Ellen bone collecting.
So I thought that a really good place to start, because although it might not be my reality, I realize that there might be some people, some young people out there who are asking, who is Ellen DeGeneres and why do we care?
Well, I wish I was them.
I wish I was them too. As a kid, I was growing up. So the Ellen show started in 2004. So when I was growing up, I only knew her as Ellen from the Ellen DeGeneres Show. It's a talk show. But Same. She was an actress. And it's worth it to note, she is one of the original LGBTQ icons. She came out in 1997. In that sense, it's kind of a huge deal that she had her own talk show and had been so widely accepted as a figure of pop culture because they tried to cancel her many times over. Ironically, they tried to cancel her back then. But we'll talk more about that later. But anyway, well, they couldn't get her for being a lesbian.
They couldn't get her for being gay, so that's no. great.
And cheered. I cheered. And I mm-hmm. cheered. But Ellen, no matter what, whether she was gay, whether she was straight, no matter what she was, she danced. She was a beloved icon of pop culture. So let's cheer for that for now. Now you know who Ellen is. She's a comedian.
Cheer. A brief cheer.
Actress, gay icon, has a talk show. But what was the Ellen DeGeneres Show and how important was it in culture, you ask? I realize not many of you know this, but the Ellen Show was the site of so many pop culture moments, not just for Taylor. I mean, Taylor was a figure. She was, honestly, for a while, it was like she was a character on the show. She was on it so many times. But it was a huge thing in pop culture. And there were tons of iconic pop culture moments, specifically like from the Tumblr era, I would say, that popped off. It ran from 2003 to 2022. And in that time, 3,339 episodes of The Ellen Show aired. Can you believe that? That number is like, I want to vomit. 3,000 daytime talk shows. Like, that's a J-O-B job, ladies and gentlemen.
She was working her ass off. She had everyone on that show. It was like, if your press yep. run for your new project didn't include an Ellen stop, good luck with booking that stage you speak of.
You needed to go on Ellen. You absolutely mm-hmm. had to go on Ellen. So Ellen's show was also, in a lot of ways, kind of a rival to the iconic Oprah Winfrey Show. In fact, even though the Oprah Show ran for longer and, in my opinion, was a better and more culturally and socially relevant and impactful show, the Ellen Show received more Daytime Emmy nominations and more Emmy Awards than the Oprah Show, if you can believe it. Ellen has more Emmys no Oprah Winfrey. It doesn't
That's
make
crazy.
Sense. It doesn't make sense. But it let it be known, Oprah Winfrey still has the highest rated talk show of all time, and that's on Period. But when
Queen.
Oprah ended her show after 25 years in 2011, the Ellen Show had kind of cornered the market, and it was the daytime show to be on. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you weren't
serious.
On Ellen.
That's
no.
kind of the important thing about Ellen. Like, Oprah would do serious stuff. She would do the kids are dying in schools because they're putting heroin up their butt. Like, that is Oprah would do those kinds of shows. Ellen would do Alex from Target is here.
Oh, she loved Alex from Target. She loved Damn Daniel, Alex from Target.
Ruined his life. Ruined Alex from Target's life. He has come out and said that ruined his life.
And that's another piece of the seedy underbelly of the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And that's just another piece of the puzzle. So yeah, mm-hmm. Oprah was considered like the highbrow journalism show in spite of like her jubilance and like all of the – like Tom Cruise, the first thing that comes to my mind when I think Oprah Winfrey now is the Tom Jumping Cruise leaping on top of the couch. Iconic. But still, Oprah was considered to be a journalist. By contrast, mm-hmm. Ellen was always a comedian first.
Yes,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
100%.
I mean, I clap and I cheer. There's nothing wrong with that. And she is very funny. Goofy, carefree, laid back. This is how people would describe her back then.
That's true.
that is true.
Back then.
So
when they liked her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, she was the internet's gay woman for a long time.
Oh, yeah. She was like, she was the one. That's why she was in the You Need to Calm Down music video. Even all those years later.
All those years later, having Cruel Summer tattooed on her arm.
I forgot about that part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not just anybody gets Cruel Summer.
No.
Not just anybody gets that. But nonetheless, one of the most iconic things about the Ellen DeGeneres Show is that she danced. If you can believe it, this is seriously something that people, it was like the whole thing about the Ellen DeGeneres Show is that she danced. And she would force you to dance if you were mm-hmm. a guest. Or if you were an audience member on the show. And I remember growing up thinking, I never, ever, 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 ever wanted to be a guest or an audience member on the Ellen Show because I did not want to dance. I don't want to do that. And it was bad. Everybody danced bad.
Do you remember when it was a thing when she would dance over the table? Everybody would like freak out about that. She had like a little coffee table in front of her and she would dance over it and people would just lose their minds for that. Why? I don't know.
Well, when I was looking her up and I looked up the show, they had a whole section on Wikipedia that was like, oh, different segments or different kind of like memes of the Ellen show. And I scrolled and I scrolled and I scrolled and it wouldn't end. It was things like Ellen dances on table. And then it was like Ellen's boing, yoing, yoing sound effect. And I was like, this cannot.
She was a clown.
She was a clown, and nobody would ever say that about Oprah Winfrey. So that's kind of the simplest way to put it. Ellen clown, Oprah Winfrey journalist. I mean, do the math.
Yes, exactly. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So she would also feature random like flavor of the week people on her show, and she would often give them money, like a lot of money. For example, Alex from Target, we already talked about him. I'm pretty sure he got $15,000. Damn Daniel, all he did was put on his shoes and he got $15,000. Sophia Grace and Rosie were a huge one. They were like the Ellen DeGeneres show mascots for a long time. They were on the show like 100 times or something like that. So people
and
who
Sophia
are going viral.
Sophia Grace has a baby now.
And now she. No.
She is with child. She is with child.
How old is she?
Her child. How old is Sophia Grace? I think she's maybe like 21, I want to say. 20.
That's really, really messed up. Okay.
That
I don't
ain't
like
right.
that. I don't like that. So she would bring on people who were going viral on the internet, and she would give them 15 minutes of fame and sometimes $15,000. This was a huge part of the show and something that most people remember the most about it. They called her Ellen DeGeneres. I remember this. I remember this very well.
That didn't last.
And they were right. And they were right. I mean, were they right for the whole time? Well, no. And we'll get to that when we get to that. But my point is, if Ellen were on today, people like Camping Girl, who was camping when Folklore came out, she would have gone on the Ellen show. Talk to a Girl would have definitely wound up on Ellen. Luckily for us all, it ended before many of these people could get their $15,000 from Ellen DeGeneres. But that's what it would have been like.
Can I just say that I would have been on Ellen? For the Ed Sheeran debacle, she would have brought me on that show and she would have said, you should choose kindness. And then Ed Sheeran would have come out with his guitar and he would have forced me to listen to him sing Aziza.
And I would have watched that episode. I would have said, this is great television.
I would not walk away with $15,000. I can tell you that.
No, she's not giving you any money. No. Not for your horrible comments about Ed Sheeran. You don't get $15,000 for that. But you will get a guitar, signed guitar, Ed Sheeran, signed guitar.
Those kinds of things, that's what's going to get you on the stage.
Exactly. So now you know Ellen DeGeneres was one of the biggest daytime talk shows of all time. And there was a time when Taylor Swift used to do massive press tours. She used to talk to us. And part of doing massive press tours and part of talking to the fans, pretty much no matter who you were, is going on the Ellen DeGeneres show. It was inescapable. If you wanted to promote your album and call Joe Jonas a terrorist on national television, the Ellen show was the place to do it. You had to subject yourself to the trials and tribulations and humiliations of the Ellen show. And Taylor subjected herself to it time and time again.
Oh, she loved it. She was going back for more.
She loved it. As the years would go on, Taylor would be publicly very nice about Ellen. One of her quotes that she said about Ellen is, she's my favorite person to talk to. She brings out the best in everybody.
She was always saying stuff like that. You're the best person ever. You're my most favorite. It's like, you know what? Pick one.
Not everybody can be the favorite. So who is it?
Ellen's your favorite person in the whole world, period. That's it. Shania Twain's in front of you and you pick Ellen. Okay.
Okay. I'd like to see that. But Taylor, that is a sentiment that Taylor carried on more or less as the years went on, in spite of the horrors. Over the years, Taylor would bring Ellen on stage during the 1989 tour and the Speak Now tour. I actually forgot about that. When I was watching the interviews, I was reminded. And she
had
also
her on
featured
pretending to play an instrument.
It was like the stick with the block with the stick. Or something like that. Hilarious.
The segment that they did for the Speak Now tour was actually really good. That's one of the ones that I think was kind of funny.
Oh, when Ellen visits the Speak Now tour, that one was so good. That was the one
that
everybody hated at the time, though. We'll talk about that when the time
comes. I loved it. Well, we'll keep,
So she was also in the You Need to Calm Down video, a mother among other such queer heavy hitters as Ryan Reynolds. So for many years, again, in spite of the horrors, Taylor put forth the idea that her and Ellen were cool as cucumbers and that they had at least a mutual respect thing going on, if not an actual friendship. So now what were the horrors? You ask. It's funny you should mention it. For years, the Ellen DeGeneres Show would, in spite of all odds, be considered the feel-good, happy, kindness, and empathy over all else and generosity television show. In some ways, it was. She was giving away $15,000 to Damn Daniel. In other
wasn't
ways...
Wasn't the catchphrase of the show, choose kindness, wasn't that like Ellen's tagline that she would always say? Or be kind, something like that.
Something like interesting. That. Interesting. That was her whole thing. In other ways... There's a lot of reasons why Ellen ultimately winds up being canceled. That happens in 2020, so obviously we're going to get to that point. We don't have to talk about it right now. But speaking in terms of a specific Swiftie lens, I think that Ellen contributed very much to the narrative of Taylor dating too much, and I think she helped whip up the general public's frenzy over her being a serial monogamist. She would really, especially in the Red era, it got pretty bad. She would browbeat Taylor about who she was dating on the show and let it be known when you go on a talk show. You're usually clued into what topics are on the table, but I personally think there were at least a couple of occasions where Ellen pushed the envelope and gagged Taylor a little bit too much.
Very
in
true.
Other ways, yeah.
I think there were moments where she just there. I think post Fearless, it seemed to me that Taylor was not into doing that anymore, and Ellen was not about to let that go. She was like, "This is funny to me, so I'm gonna just keep bringing it up over and over, no matter your discomfort." I think her discomfort was like part of the gag for Ellen. She was like, "Oh, this is so trivial and silly and funny," but obviously, like, you know, it's easy to say in hindsight now what damage that would do. But at that time, I think it must have been confusing for Ellen and the public, because for a long time, Taylor was like, I would like to name and shame. I would like to take this chance to dunk on my ex-boyfriend by name.
When it got old, it got old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because you can use the Ellen Show. I watched all the interviews back to back to back to back to back in like an afternoon. You can see the trajectory from Taylor, like, fully supporting it, fully buying into it, and then the slow decline into that's enough. It's not funny anymore.
And you know what's interesting is that, actually, maybe I should wait to get into this until we get to the specific episode. So go on with your bad self.
But whether it was evil or not and whether there were horrors or not, like we said, some of the most iconic moments of Taylor's press career occurred on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. So there are roses and there are thorns with Taylor's personal journey on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. And we are going to get into every single last morsel, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's rather delicious. So let's get right into it with the very first ever Taylor Ellen appearance, far earlier than I remembered. January 17th, 2008.
This was when I think our song had gone number one on the country pop or the country charts. It had gone number one and had been number one for a while. And that got her a ticket to the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Wait, this was before Fearless even came out. Write that down. She was still just doing debut. She wears like a cute and simple long sleeve black dress. She wears tights, her iconic brown leather bracelet. She has on hoop earrings, which killed me. Very classic 2008 sort of style. Everybody was dressing exactly like this. So she looked cute. Not much to report there. The most baffling part about this interview is that Ellen is in pajama pants. And it's never explained
why. For
what
reason? For what reason?
Never explained.
And I'm not watching the full episode to find out.
Never, ever explained. She's just in blue plaid pajama pants the whole interview. There's not really much to mine from this particular interview. It's the same debut interview you've seen a million times. I wanted to move to Nashville. I wanted to be a country singer. I love Leanne Rimes. We've been there. We've done that. We've heard all these stories before. She does a cute and decent performance of Our Song on the Ellen DeGeneres stage. And there's really not much to it. It's a very classic debut-era interview.
She has sounded worse.
Oh, she sounded so much worse.
She has looked worse.
Yep. This is a good interview. Cute. It introduced probably many people in the audience to Taylor Swift. They said, I didn't know who this cute girl was, but now I do, and I'm clapping and I'm cheering.
She was hitting the beats. She was like, I'm a songwriter. I wrote the song for my ninth grade talent show. I love country music. I love God. I love my fans.
And what else do you need to know? Nothing.
Nothing. That's
Bye,
it.
Taylor. Nice to see you. So Taylor's second Ellen appearance actually happens only a month later on February 11, 2008. They loved her. They said, we can't wait to have her back. To be fair, the show aired like 5 times a week. So it's actually not that close together if you think of it in terms of episodes. But it was in the same season and it's only a month later. I mean, they couldn't wait to get her back in the seat. I couldn't wait either. They needed her. In this one, she actually wears like a really cute purple dress. It's like a spaghetti strap. And I think it's meant to mirror the dress that she wears, or the dress that she wore to the Grammys, because it's that same kind of color of like purpley blue. So I think she was trying to be like, this is my dress that I'm also going to wear to the Grammys. You know what I mean? Okay, girl.
You know what really gagged me about this? She was gushing about the Grammys, right? She was like, I can't believe I get to go to the Grammys. And she says that she's sitting at this star-studded table. Okay, these are the stars at the star-studded table. David Spade, Pete Wentz, Ashley Simpson, and Joe Simpson, Ashley Simpson's father. That is Taylor Swift's star-studded table.
I mean, in 2008, I think star-studded. Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz,
They were Prince William and Kate.
I forgot that's they what were it was. Married, but they were. And Taylor was there to witness it.
She said, I'm with the stars. She said, I'm amongst the A-list currently.
The pictures that she took with like Jimmy Kimmel and David Spade, the selfies are so humiliating.
They are so wrong.
This face? It's like, oh, no.
She was just a girl. That was her, I'm just a girl.
She was just a girl. So she talks about that. They talk about, oh, I'm so excited to go to the Grammys. She's never won one, so there's not much to mine here at this point. But old school lore about Taylor is that one of her favorite celebrities was, I don't know if we can say is anymore, but it was Justin Timberlake. She was obsessed. Justin Timberlake. I remember this back is gonna then ruin thinking the tour. It was kind
this
of
is gonna
odd.
Ruin the tour.
This is literally going to ruin the tour. Ruin I remember tour. Thinking that, like, I don't get why she likes him so much.
Well, he was kind of like over at this point, I guess. Like, he hadn't really been doing it. To be fair, I think Future Sex Love Sounds. No, I think it was like 2 years old at this point. I mean, I never got the Justin Timberlake thing, even when he was like in NSYNC. I never thought he was that cute. But Taylor, oh my God. I think she was an NSYNC stanny, and it was like her nostalgic childhood fave, like her Avril Lavigne.
She's obsessed. She loved Justin Timberlake. I always forget this part of her, but the bad taste in men started young. I will say that.
That also went on until 1989. She was freaking the hell out when he agreed to come and do Mirrors at the 1989 tour. Remember? She was like,
oh my God, not Mirrors.
That.
It's like, you my mirror.
Now that song goes. That song does go hard.
Me.
I have to give it to him.
So they begin talking about Justin Timberlake and how Justin at the time had a girlfriend. And this is the first brick. The first brick is being thrown at Taylor on the Ellen DeGeneres show, because Ellen, along this line of conversation, says, quote, I'm scared to hook you up with anybody, even if I meet anybody great, because I hear something that you do that kind of frightens me a little bit. I'm going to give you a chance to clear it up. When you have spare time, don't you drive past your ex-boyfriend's houses. Why? Unquote. Now, this is something that Taylor would repeat and say on her MySpace over and over again.
It is self-inflicted.
But she says something in response to this that is so Taylor-coded, even to this day, which is, everybody does that. It's just that nobody admits to it. Well, yes.
And the audience gags.
And the audience,
gags. They start clapping and cheering like nobody's business.
This girl stands on her business. Yes, she does it, and she doesn't care. And she'll continue to do it. And she's not going to stop. Aren't you doing it right now? I'll see you there. I'll see you outside your ex-boyfriend's house, too.
Let me clock you a little bit.
So obviously this is all one big joke and it's all in jest and good fun, but this is the start of the pattern, ladies and gentlemen, of what Taylor's appearances on Ellen always dissolved into. Conversations about her dating life and kind of positing it in a light where it's like, men should be careful about getting around you because of XYZ. In spite of that, there's not much to mine here. She went to the Grammys, she met Ashley Simpson, Pete Wentz, and David Spade, and she's wearing a purple dress. Any questions?
That's everything. I have a comment, actually. I have a comment to make. about the dating life thing. I think it's interesting at the beginning as well, when it was low stakes for her to talk about who her exes were and to talk about torturing her exes, et cetera. Like at this point, people don't know who Taylor Swift is. And right. one of the best ways to make yourself familiar to an audience is to associate yourself with other famous people. So mentioning Justin Timberlake, talking about her star-studded table, who she's dating. She would only go on to engage in the, I would love to talk about my famous ex-boyfriend one more time. But Taylor was at this point, to be fair to Ellen, like still trafficking in, I would like to be known and recognized as this kind of person. If guys don't want me to write bad songs about them, they shouldn't do bad things.
Right. And period. This is something that happens. This is something that is only drilled home by Taylor's third Ellen appearance, perhaps the most iconic of all time. Everybody knows what this one is. This third Ellen appearance aired the day that Fearless released on November 11th, 2008. Now, that gives you some perspective of how big of a show Ellen DeGeneres was. On the literal release day of her album, she could have gone on any show anywhere to promote this album, and she's on Ellen on Fearless release day. Period. Exactly. So she wears a sleeveless black glittering dress. She looks absolutely Gorgina. I love the way she looks in this interview. From the very start of the interview, she wastes no time. It begins.
No.
Ellen says literally 20 seconds into Taylor sitting on that couch. Quote, so all of the songs on here are about boys and love. And Taylor says, Y-E-S, yes, they are. Ellen, mm-hmm. thank you so much for
loud
asking.
Loud and proud.
So like Zach was saying earlier, this is something that was part of the PR package of Taylor Swift. During the Fearless and Speak Now eras, she really was leaning into, hi, I'm Taylor, and I write songs about boys who cheat on me. That was kind of like Taylor 101. It's what everybody knew about her and thought about her. So I give Ellen a break on pretty much like setting up the sword for Taylor to cut Joe Jonas's head off. Give her the sword. See if I care.
We would like to see heads rolling.
I would like to see it. So Ellen says, are there any songs on this album about anybody in particular? And Taylor gets that, you know, the look she gets in her eyes mm-hmm. when she's being evil. It's like the devil dog look.
It's the she's same hunting. One that she had when she was asked in that interview if she intended to re-record her albums. And she said,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She it's said, like a tunnel oh, yeah. vision. I have mm-hmm. my target. I have him in my sights and I will take the shot when necessary.
And I love and she to said, see it. It's a very important thing that we don't get to see enough.
We don't get to see enough. Today's target, Joe Jonas. Joe Jonas.
Deserved.
You and your last. And mm-hmm. your last, and ladies your and gentlemen. Last. So in an act that probably to many people in the year of 2025 for Swifties is pure insanity, Ellen puts an entire picture of Joe and Taylor sitting together at the VMAs a mere couple of months before this interview and says, people like him? Well, yes. Mm-hmm. As
and she's
a
like,
yeah, fact,
I would love to talk about it. Thank you for bringing it up.
So Taylor, she pretends to be coy, but you know she was plotting and scheming. She's like, oh, there's one song about that guy. And you know what? That guy's not in my life anymore, unfortunately. That's ouch. Okay.
That's
say
ouch.
More. Say more. And then she stops being coy and she goes devil dog again. And she says, and I wrote a song about it and it's on the album and it's called Forever and Always. Get him. Get him again for me.
And Ellen goes, is that sarcastic? And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
I got my life from this when I was, how old was I? 15. I was 15.
That was the first time I ever found a pitchfork. I got a pitchfork and I said, gotta get him.
I wanted Joe Jonas dead. You know, it was like, mm-hmm. we joke about like all the boyfriends now. We're grown adults, so we're not taking it seriously. It was serious to me back then. I wanted his head
no,
on
No, it was... They are so serious. Lucky that we didn't understand how to like use Twitter to abuse people. That hadn't quite happening yet. Like stan communities en masse swarming. Joe Jonas would have died.
Oh, he would have been, it would have been a feast. It would have been yellow
over
jackets.
For him.
Cut
but he
him
was
open.
More famous than her. At this point, let's not forget, at this point, he is still more famous than Taylor Swift. Not for long.
If you can believe it. Not for long. So then she says, this is the part where she goes full-blown evil. She says... She reveals, I should say, that Joe broke up with her on the phone in 27 seconds. And the crowd goes wild. This is a mob. She was inciting a mob. This is a riot. This
and
is
we
what
were
the
ready.
Streets in Rome looked like when Caesar was killed, literally. they were going wild. So it cannot be overstated how important this event is to the canon of Taylor Swift. This is like the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
This is
these
everything.
Were our marching orders. This was serious to us. Right.
And it happened on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Okay? Do you get it? Is it clicking yet now? This is Swiftie history.
The iconery. And
we owe it to Ellen DeGeneres. I'll say it. We owe it to Ellen.
Yeah. We'll give it to her. We'll give her that one. We'll give her this bone.
So after the Joe Jonas lashings are over, finally Ellen asks an interesting question that isn't about boys. She says, quote, "How do you feel about being 18 years old and so successful and knowing that there are young girls out there that you're influencing? Does that give you pressure and do you think about that?" And this is what Taylor has to say to that. Quote, "I think that when you put out one song or do a movie or whatever, no matter what, you're a role model. What role model, whether you choose to embrace it or whether you choose to ignore it. And I just choose to embrace it. Because it's the biggest honor in the world when a mom comes up to me and says, 'My 8-year-old daughter listens to your music, and I think that it's so great she looks up to you.' That's not just a compliment on my music. That's a compliment of my character. And that's really sweet to get that," unquote.
The good girl shtick is taking root. And she answers this. Most celebrities at this point are actually kind of scared to answer that question. I remember when Nicki Minaj came on the show, and I think Nicki was right to do this. Ellen was like, "What do you say to the mothers who are like scandalized by the content that you're putting out?" She was like, "Well, I'm not their parents. So it's actually not my responsibility to answer for you." And you know, Britney was peppered with this question a lot and she felt that she didn't know how to answer it. Taylor very directly took that responsibility head on, which would lead to, I think, a lot of the problems that came as she tried to evolve and grow up. And it did kind of keep her in a bit of a golden cage by having to be the good girl, the pop star that doesn't get it wrong, the pop star that doesn't fall apart.
Right.
It placed a lot of pressure on her.
And I think at this particular time period in her life, she really was fully embracing it. And she didn't realize that she was like helping to put up the bars of the cage around herself by saying things like this and being like, it's my responsibility to take on the role model sort of role, literally.
Because she meant it and it was true. I mean, she was a preternaturally a gifted child who always had an ambition and was always working. She wasn't gonna just randomly stop, get out of the studio and go drink some beers with Miley Cyrus and party it up on Rodeo Drive. That was never going to be her. So it was kind of easy for her to say this in a way because it was just naturally aligned with who she was as a person.
At the time. Now, Ellen loves this answer. She claps, she cheers. Ellen was always like, as we go on, you'll see this more and more. She rains down like effusive praise on Taylor in every single
appearance. You're the nicest
you're
person
so smart.
Ever.
Your light in this world. Yeah, mm-hmm. On and on and on. So she says something to that effect after Taylor says that. And then Ellen says that if she had kids, she would be afraid of them emulating other people, but she would be happy if they emulated Taylor. Now, again, this is something that isn't Ellen's fault because this was the popular mindset at the time. And the mindset was Taylor Swift, good. Other women like, I don't know, Britney Spears, Jessica Simpson, Christina Aguilera, bad. Taylor Momsen maybe was perhaps rising at this time period, 2008, 2009, right?
Yeah, and then, but we had like Lindsay Lohan kind of spinning out at that point.
I couldn't remember who the whores were. I couldn't remember.
It was Britney and Britney? Miley.
Yeah,
Miley
Britney,
was just
Miley,
starting.
Miley
was just Miley, getting started.
You're right. So all those other women are bad, but Taylor is good because she is the perfect role model for my 8-year-old daughter. And again, this is just the popular opinion of the time. So it's not Ellen's fault. And she was just kind of being the mouthpiece at the time.
And she had to be. And we're okay with it now.
We're okay with it now. So this is a huge episode. So Ellen was surprising Taylor like a few times because it is her album release party. Her album release party was happening on Ellen's show. So guess who shows up? Who do you think showed up in 2008? Abigail. She came out as a surprise guest. The girl,
the man. Who gave everything she had to a boy who changed his mind. Abigail will get touted out to do her trauma whenever Taylor feels. Age bald when I watched this back. I was like, I cannot believe they pulled this woman out of college to come here and just sit next to Taylor and be like, "You're the best."
And she was sitting there going, "I go to KU, go Bulldogs." And everyone's like, you people have never been to Kansas.
No, you don't know what she's talking about. She looked like she just came from Kansas too. She was dressed in a Kansas manner.
She was, and she looked like a college girl. There's no other way to put it, especially right next to Taylor, who's like the pop star. Yeah, she looked like a Kansas.
It was unfair.
But it, you know, unfair. What? Abigail, I have to give her credit. If my friend was just randomly becoming Taylor Swift and they were like, come on the Ellen show, I'd be shitting myself. Abigail's like very composed, and she seems really comfortable and confident being up there. I'm jealous.
And also really reassured with her like presence next to Taylor. Like, I've never gotten the sense that they weren't real friends.
Right. It wasn't like Taylor is the queen and Abigail is the lowly servant girl who I tout out to convince everybody that I am really down to earth.
Though we could forgive you for thinking that. We could forgive you for thinking that.
We could. We could. If you're one of those people who are like, I never thought Abigail and Taylor was real. Well, you're not. I support you, but you would be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Two weddings.
Two weddings. So after Abigail, we get another surprise. Guess who it is? She wheels out Justin Timberlake. In 2008, this was literally the equivalent of bringing out Harry Styles. This is how people were reacting. It's Justin Timberlake. It's like, you're my mirror staring back at me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was cheering. Everybody was up on their feet.
She was
the gagged. Secondhand embarrassment that I get out of watch. I almost couldn't watch it. I had to skip through it because it was so embarrassing seeing her react to Justin Timberlake. In her defense, this is how probably when I was 18, I would have reacted to Robert Pattinson. So
he was her teen heartthrob.
Yeah. And they commiserate over breakups because obviously that's, you know, the topic du jour, the topic of Fearless. And Ellen asked Justin Timberlake, quote, why are men the way that they are? I would like to ask that question.
We're
too.
Still asking. I haven't gotten an answer.
Why are men the way they are? An Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know.
And you know what? Like he's the one that should answer. He's the one that should answer that question.
Mm-hmm. And all he said was, huh, because men are stupid.
Yeah, agreed. That's right. Shut up.
No, you're evil. Mm-hmm. You, personally, write that down. Mm-hmm. In any event, that happens. Justin Timberlake comes on the show. It's probably one of the best days of Taylor's life. At the end of the show, she does like Love Story in one of the most confusing outfits I think I've ever seen her wear.
Is she wearing here? What
it's
is
it's like
that?
Story of Us, but bad. It's like a white dress shirt with an undone bow tie and a skirt. And it's a little pitchy, and there's nothing good that I have to say about it.
The undone bow tie.
Why are we doing
Love
Story when it's the
Fearless?
There's
a reason that's not a trend. I've never seen that being done by anyone else. Maybe Janelle Monáe has done it, actually, now that I think about it. But Taylor, it's not for you.
Did you hear me just forget that Love Story was on Fearless? That just happened. I was going to say, like, why, if this is a Fearless release party, why are you doing
Tyler,
Love Story?
Tyler, edit it out. Tyler, edit it
out. Okay. Nonetheless, whether Love Story was pitchy and whether she wore an undone bow tie, this is one of Taylor's most memorable and most iconic. I'm gonna rewrite history and say it is the most memorable and is the most iconic Ellen show appearance. We got Joe Jonas lashings, which I was hungry for. I mean, can't get enough. Justin Timberlake meetings, first time she ever met her. Abigail surprise, and nothing evil happens the whole episode. And I think Taylor genuinely had an amazing album release party on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And I think this, you know, before Ellen cancellation might have been something that she looked back on fondly.
I think she probably still looks back on this fondly. I think she had fun. I think
it was
a fun
great.
Day.
Me too. Mm. I would have given anything to be there, by the way.
Oh, $1 million.
I need to be at the Ellen DeGeneres taping of the Fearless release party with Justin Timberlake and Abigail.
One of my dreams was always to be in the audience for an Ellen show performance and interview with Taylor. I always, for some reason, I was like, God, I wish I was there. Because sometimes they would pull fans out and they would give them prizes and they would get to meet Taylor. We needed that.
You know, that's really interesting to me because I don't think I've never wanted to go on any of these shows. Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, SNL. It always sounds like annoying.
No, I just wanted to go on Ellen because you could get stuff. Like she would give you things you get tickets to shows. Like, yeah. Hello.
I'd rather go to Oprah. I want a car.
Well, you're getting a car.
I want a car. Okay. So Taylor's fourth Ellen appearance occurs on October 29th, 2009. At this point, she has just wrapped up the first leg of the Fearless Tour. She wears I consider to be gorgeous velvet orange strapless dress with her hair up. She looks amazing.
This color. And her hair pinned like that is so good. And she did that a few times on the Ellen show, actually.
And she looks Gorgina. I love it. When her hair would be pinned up, when she had those curls, oh, it was Gorgina. Absolutely magical. Gorgeous. One of my favorite Ellen looks. And like I said before, Ellen often would offer just like as much praise to Taylor on pretty much every episode imaginable. You're so beautiful. You're so talented. You're a ball of light in the cruel world. The world is better because you're in it. You're so special. I love seeing you blossom. Like, honestly, it would go on an uncomfortable amount of time.
That we literally you're get it.
With her.
Yeah. What are we here to talk about, babe?
Where was the
what
lie?
What are we here to talk about?
But I want to know where the lie was. Where was the lie? Especially back then.
Lies.
In my opinion, Taylor didn't do anything wrong. Pretty much, I don't think she, well, maybe she never has done anything wrong. What do you think?
I was going to say that. What do you mean? I don't think she's ever done anything wrong. I think she's one of those people that's never made a mistake.
Especially not Fearless or Speak Now era. No way. She never did anything
perfect.
Wrong.
She was perfect. Mm.
So as a gesture of generosity, Taylor presents Ellen with a commemorative framed album for Fearless that says that it sold 5 million copies. That's 5 times platinum. Let's clap. Let's cheer for that. Fearless, you
in
did
a year.
It. You in did a it year. Again. So then Taylor tells probably the most psychotic story I think I've ever heard her tell anywhere in the history of ever. So she says that Ellen and her team, after filming the album release episode, Ellen and her team sent Taylor and Abigail to this restaurant called Mr. Chow's, which is apparently a big famous celebrity restaurant. And who's sitting right behind them at the restaurant is Stevie Wonder. And apparently the day that they filmed her Fearless release party on Ellen was election night, November 6th. This was the night that President Obama was elected to be president. And she says everyone, she describes it. She's like, everyone had just gotten the news and there was just an energy about the place.
Oh,
and she
no.
says that Stevie Wonder stood up and one of the waiters got everybody's attention and announced Mr. Wonder would like to make a speech. And Taylor says, and I remember everything he said word for word.
She and was like, I'm going to take every moment and just memorize it forever.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's rewind
and she
that.
She says, this is what Stevie Wonder says, quote, this is for all the people who fought for this country and died so we could vote. And this is for all of the people who live their lives with love. This is for all of the people who live their lives in hatred because they're only trying to be loved. This is for all of the believers and the non-believers and for our future generations who will get to vote because of the people who have fought for this country. And this is for all the people who have fought to make this country far better than it has ever been, unquote. And Taylor says, and I remembered everything he said in the whole
crowd.
That is
a word salad. So it's basically, this is for everyone, is the answer of that story. This is for literally everyone. It's for the haters. It's for the losers. It's for everyone.
Exactly. And where was
Taylor?
I don't know where the lie was.
And Taylor got to hear it.
And I'm sure in the moment, she was like, tears. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
This is what I meant, Mr. Chow.
Yeah, and this was also when Taylor was really patriotic. This was still in the, God bless America. I love the United States. Well, they all were. Good country girls had to be big patriots.
You did. So after she tells this bonkers ballistic story of American patriotism and how it was the night things changed, Ellen immediately changes the subject and goes, sir, you're in a new movie called Valentine's Day.
When
and
does it come
do you
out?
Imagine the conversation about Valentine's Day devolves into. Now,
can you
this
imagine?
In of itself is the ballistic part of talk shows in general. Like, this is insane. It feels extra ballistic on Ellen just because of how the subjects go from, and I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, right into, so you're sucking face with Taylor Lautner, huh? She wastes no time. That's the thing about Ellen. She's very, very fast. She doesn't care about Stevie Wonder. She doesn't
Thanks
care
for
about
sharing,
Mr. Chow's.
But yeah, you had your tongue down Taylor Lautner's throat, and you're both called Taylor, so let's expand.
Let's talk about that. So Ellen says, oh, he's cute. And Taylor says, yeah, he is. And she's got devil dog in her voice again, but it's a different kind of devil dog. She thought that he was the cutest boy who ever lived. She
and
might
she
have been right about that. In 2008, 2009, oh, please.
Yeah.
Please. He was everything. So they put up a picture of Taylor and Taylor kissing for the movie, of course. And the crowd erupts in cheers and woo. I hate it. That's one of my pet peeves. When crowds go, woo. I hate
Don't do that.
That's
Nara's tour.
Do not too bad at the Snareth. Also, it's supposed to be for like a romantic moment. Nothing romantic is going to be happening on the Snareth stage. Mm-mm. What do you think? So do not do that at the Snareth tour. I'm sure they will anyway, now that I've said this. But in any event, Ellen says, "What's happening there?" with like a shit-eating grin on her face. Here she goes. This is the second brick.
There she blows.
The second brick is being thrown on the Ellen DeGeneres stage. And then she puts up a picture of Taylor and Taylor at some kind of sporting event together. I think it was hockey. And Ellen said, "Is that part of the movie?" Some people might call this journalism. I do. Mm-hmm.
It's a fact-finding mission.
Oh, it is. It is. And also, this story is, I think, oddly where the term Swifties was born.
I know. I was thinking that when I watched it. I was like, this is the first time I've ever heard, I remember hearing Taylor utter the word Swiftie. Because she was telling the story about how on set it was confusing who was Taylor, who was Taylor Swift. And she said, "I just got everyone to call me Swiftie." And Ellen said, "Okay, I'm going to call you Swiftie." As though it was the most, you know, insane thing she'd ever heard in her entire life. Little did she know. I Swiftie, you Swiftie, we Swiftie, they Swiftie.
Do you see the iconography of the Ellen Show? Is it clicking for you yet? This is like everything. Most of the things that I remember that are like integral pieces of lore come from the Ellen DeGeneres Show for 10 years.
A lot of the building blocks took place here.
They did. So after this, after the Taylor Lautner harassment, which is, there's not much to mind there other than Taylor like, "Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Ellen's asking me about this."
I'm so shy.
But I kind of think she loved it a little
boyfriend.
Bit.
Oh, she loved.
She loved it. She absolutely loved it. She was flying high on cloud nine. So after all this happens, they do this kind of like goofy bit where like Ellen and Taylor write a song together and it's all in like a quest to get Taylor to say like a secret code word that Ellen and the crowd had picked out earlier without Taylor's knowledge. And because she says spiral staircase, she gets it immediately too. Like Ellen only has to prompt her like 3 times and she just says spiral staircase like that.
Writer girl.
I thought she was a genius. I remember watching this being like, she's so smart. I never would have guessed that. She's a genius. So because of this, the whole entire crowd got $200 worth of band hero shit. Daytime talk shows, not real.
Things nobody asked for.
No, Band Hero was passe within like 5 months of it coming out. I remember that. It did not last.
Why didn't we get a signed copy of a Taylor Swift CD? I would be like, what the hell is this?
Right. Well,
I've been shortchanged.
You have Taylor in the studio and you couldn't have her sign 200 copies of Fearless? I don't get it.
Why the hell not? Mm-mm,
so
that was wrong.
Unfortunately, Tim McGraw was the musical guest on this episode, so there was no Taylor performance. But maybe that's fortunately. Maybe it's fortunately.
Who knows what she would have done?
Who knows what she would have done to us?
They're not all good.
They're not all good. They're not. So moving right along into number 5. This is Taylor's 5th Ellen appearance. It occurs on November 1st, 2010.
I love this one.
Had just come out. I would give anything to go back to November 2010. Anything. Like I'm on my hands and knees begging. I need
Please.
It so bad. She wears a Gorgina 3/4 sleeve black lace with her hair up. And guess what? For the first time on Ellen, she wears her red lip. It is not yet, but is soon to be her signature red lip. And she looks absolutely Gorgina. This is honestly probably one of my favorite Ellen looks of all time. It's so Speak Now coded too. She looks Gorgina. I mean, I can't say it enough.
I love it. The dress is so regal and the performance is really good, but we'll get to that later.
So they ham up that Speak Now was 100% self-written. And I say it louder. Say
louder.
Tell everyone.
Once
they
more.
They talk about it for like
they didn't
at least
hear
two
you
or
in
three
North
minutes.
Korea. Get on the mic again.
Self-written. 100%. Mm-hmm. No co-writers. I don't see anybody else doing that today. Do
no,
you?
I don't.
I think we should do
no
it again.
No one since.
Mm? I think we should do it again. Come on. Let's run it back.
A little treat.
Something interesting that Taylor says. I think this is so interesting. I think this is one of the few times I ever heard her say something like this. She said that she was really scared to release Speak Now in particular because she's the only writer. So that makes it incredibly personal. And so because of how personal and how much she revealed on that album, she was scared to put it out. And she said that she would have nightmares that Rolling Stone hated it and that they rated it 0.5 star. Now, this is a fascinating line of conversation to me, and Ellen does not pursue it. But
no.
This is one of like my favorite things that she ever said on the Ellen Show because
well, it's actually revealing. She didn't do a lot of like actual interviewing on Ellen. It was just kind of lolling, which is why when you look back at these interviews, most of them are just, if they're not funny or iconic, they're just really nothing. Like they are, the appearances about like the perfumes and the CoverGirl stuff, I was like, what the hell are we doing here? If we're not promoting music, there's very little point to Taylor coming on the Ellen show. But this was before, it was interesting because this was before, you know, the hack Robert Sheffield was installed at Rolling Stone to do Taylor propaganda. So it says something about her opinion of herself as a songwriter when she was feeling so nervous about people receiving it. And they loved it. But they didn't love it as much as they should. It didn't get the kind of acclaim that it deserved when it came out. That is what bugs me about Speak Now, is that even in, it's only ever given its flowers in hindsight. And even then people are like, oh, well, Red was better. And it's like, but see, it needed to be understood and received with acclaim when it came out.
I totally agree. No, I totally agree. I don't think it was ever, ever, ever fully understood. It's nice that Ellen says something like, everybody loves it. Everybody thinks it's great. So blah, blah, blah. And
we do.
Like,
We do.
But the people out there in the world, they weren't receiving this the way that I felt that they should have been. But it's funny that you mentioned Rob Sheffield, because not to skip ahead, but in the 1989 Ellen appearance, she says, oh my God, the Rolling Stone profile in 1989 was so nice. I cried. And I was like, I know who wrote it. I don't even have to look. I don't even have to look. But that nonetheless, it was not Rob Sheffield back then, and she was having nightmares about half a star. So you know what? Maybe I'm saying, Rob Sheffield, you should have that job for life, because I don't want Taylor having nightmares about half star reviews from Rolling Stone.
Really,
I
don't want
her
to
sleep in peace. I want her to sleep in peace. So Rob, you need to keep doing it for life. Thank you. But no matter if this was interesting or not, you know what Ellen DeGeneres does instead of pursuing this line of conversation? She says, quote, so you continue to write about ex-boyfriends. Now, I don't mean to parasocialize, but when I think about Taylor's reaction to talking about boyfriends in her previous four appearances,
this is where it changes.
It's different. She doesn't laugh. She doesn't smile. She doesn't play coy. She doesn't do any of that. She just kind of sits there. I noticed it. She didn't look thrilled. She wasn't like upset. She wasn't mad, but like she wasn't smiling. So Ellen continues and says, you'd think people would be scared to even be near you because they have to know that you're gonna, because you write about your experience. And there's a new one that people are speculating was about John Mayer because it's called Dear John.
There is no way that she had actually listened to the song Dear John, because if Ellen DeGeneres had heard that song, she would not have asked this question.
No. It's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that they even brought it up. I don't understand why we're saying Dear John.
It's so obvious as well. Like, we don't actually even really need to mention it. You could just mention that, you know, oh, you've addressed some people by name, and you could have left it there. But, you know, I'm Tay Warrior at this moment.
But in spite of all this, this is a good moment because Ellen says, I mean, it could just be a Dear John song. And Taylor just like smiles and nods and says, it could be.
Queendom.
She wanted to get him hanging.
Is this the right? I think it was this interview, but you can correct me if it was a different one. I think it was this one where she said, I will continue to write songs about people in my life, and I will continue to not tell you who those songs are about. She was like,
yeah,
this is my
right
new
here.
Stance that I'm taking.
Zach, I have
I'm
the whole
say
quote
it.
In the notes. I have the whole quote in the notes. I have the whole quote in the notes. Okay. In any event. And then after this, Ellen puts up not just one, but three entire screens on stage with her and John Mayer standing together. Not necessary. Completely unnecessary. Why would you do that? It's kind of crazy to me to think about how back then nobody saw an issue with this creepy fucking relationship, especially considering John Mayer already had an incredibly poor reputation for being gross.
He'd been crashing out. This was post the Playboy profile. Like, this was not the time to be doing John Mayer punchline. This was time to be doing John Mayer actual terrorist to women.
Yeah, he should have been on the cross.
This was after he said his dick was racist, isn't it?
Yeah, the Jessica Simpson.
You see,
Playboy
Ellen?
Profile, et cetera, et cetera. But I still get it.
How is Ellen supposed to know the rules have changed? I do kind of understand that now, because you know, Taylor had set it up for so long that she was willing to go there. So I forgive Ellen this one time for making this mistake. I don't forgive her for all the subsequent trespasses of Taylor's privacy.
So Ellen kind of like presses the issue a little bit And she says, okay, well, now we know it's 100% about him. And when Ellen presses it, Taylor puts her defenses up just like the slightest bit. And she says, the thing is, with my career, I've been fortunate enough to have success. I've had a few main goals and priorities if I was lucky enough to get to continue to do this. And those two goals were to, in spite of my success, remain the same person, and in spite of success, remain the same songwriter. When I was 12 years old and writing songs, I was writing songs about my life. And just because more people are now more interested in the subject material in those songs more than when I was 12, I'm still going to continue to write about my life and will continue to never tell them who the songs are about. My immediate response to this as I was watching it is, let's smack Cam to November 11th, 2008. But this is a really good quote, and I think that she has pretty much 99% of her career stuck to this. And I think that Joe Jonas thing is when she learned her lesson.
Yeah,
because she learned that it can
become something you don't want it to be. Having the gotcha moment in the moment, it's better to have that in the songs than it is to have in the interviews. So I think she realized, I can still have the satisfaction of getting back at someone. I just don't need to be doing it on the air, because then it gets taken out of context. Then people start making it your personality. You're tied to someone you maybe don't want to be tied to anymore. It gets complicated.
So she says all that, which, by the way, is pretty interesting. And Ellen says, okay, but we know it's about him. She doesn't take the hint. She cannot for the life of herself take the hint. But even in spite of Taylor saying all that, we did kind of know. We did kind of know that it was about him. Maybe so. Maybe so. So then after this, to get her to talk about Jake Gyllenhaal, if you can believe that Jake Gyllenhaal and Taylor Swift public relationship directly coincided with Speak Now release week, it did. It was literally the pictures of Taylor with Maggie Gyllenhaal came out the week that Speak Now was released.
That's psychotic.
So it is.
It's evil.
So to get Taylor to talk about it, Ellen goes, so if you were to write a song about right now about love, how would it go? Are you optimistic about love right now?
Taylor is so good at interviews. She plays it perfect.
Taylor says, a deeply Taylor quote, she says, I'm always optimistic about love. And then when Ellen asks her again, I thought this was so interesting. Ellen asks again, and Taylor says, yes, always, sometimes. Which is so interesting. And then again, when Ellen presses her some more about if she's optimistic right now, Taylor gets like cagey and weird. And there's something uncomfortable in the way that she's sitting and in her face. And I think it's worth it to note that in my memory, Ellen is one of the very, very few interviewers that would press on her dating life this hard and with this much intensity. She would press until she got the answer.
I don't remember any other interviewer being even able to ask these kinds of questions to her. No. I don't know how Ellen got to do it for so long. I really don't.
So although this is a talk show and Taylor, again, would pretty much be briefed on at least 95% of what would occur out there on that stage, there is something about how Ellen operated and how Taylor would react to it that suggests to me that the specific way she would go about asking about a boyfriend, it might not be she didn't know that Ellen's going to ask about Jake Gyllenhaal, but it's like the way that she would do it is in a way that takes her off guard.
With such glee.
She wasn't expecting it. Yeah. So then Ellen blows up a giant picture of Jake Gyllenhaal and Taylor Swift together at some event that I don't remember.
I don't remember this picture at all. You can't even see them. It's like their backs. It's like a BlackBerry camera picture of them from behind.
All of the other pictures of them were so much more iconic. So I Maybe do not remember this rights. Picture at all. Yeah, she couldn't get the rights to the Maple Lattes picture. So Taylor says, you have a picture of us on the screen, don't you? She won't even turn around. Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a picture of you on the screen. So as the interview continues, again, Taylor is visibly strange with the conversation around Jake. And Ellen says, isn't he worried that if something goes wrong, you'll write a song? Taylor gets weird. And right after this question, she like laughs uncomfortably and immediately changes the subject to the good times me and Ellen have had on the show. And she derails the Jake conversation. This is a time when Ellen took the note and backed off. She allowed Taylor to completely change the conversation because she could tell Taylor didn't like it. So
that's
again,
such
reflecting.
An uncomfortable situation to put her in right. at the time because she was actively in a relationship. She didn't ask her that when she was dating Taylor Lautner. That question didn't come up. It was, do you like smooching? This one right. also was more serious because we know that it felt like a real relationship, first of all, to her. And second of all, we also know that it wasn't going very well.
So my question was she uncomfortable with talking about her boyfriends in general? Was she just changing her mind about how she wanted to be asked about this particular subject? Was she uncomfortable talking about Jake because they were on one of their breaks? Or was she uncomfortable talking about Jake because she knew that Jake Gyllenhaal hated the public relationship aspect of having to date Taylor Swift? These are the questions that I'm asking. It could be any three of these, and I don't know which one it is.
He was probably asking her the same questions. When are you going to write a song about me? How bad is it going to be? And I imagine that was frustrating.
And that's why.
Little did he know. Kind of,
she smack cams him way more than anybody else in terms of, yes, I will write a song about this. John Mayer a little bit too, but obviously that's something that was like a thing earned between them, was writing songs. But with Jake, she really wanted to hit. I mean, I bet you Think About Me is like damning.
Well, she's like, it was rare. I was there. You don't get to control the narrative. I remember it. Thanks. Best wishes, Taylor.
After this conversation, Jake Gyllenhaal does not come up again because Ellen took the hint that this was not going good. Then they just do goofy shit. So Ellen scares her. I mean, this is good, clean fun. Scaring Taylor. Everybody loves it. It hurts no one, helps everyone. And then Taylor talks about moving out. This is right around the time when Taylor moved
Nashville
out on
condo.
Her own. She got her Nashville condo.
Speak now, palace.
Birdcage. So good interview overall. Fruitful. It's a little bit evil. We liked it. I enjoyed watching it. But at the end of it,
But the performances, that's really what we need to be talking about. She did Mine and Back to December. And the Mine performance is so, so good. She's got the Koa guitar. The vocals are good. She's playing it kind of like slower than usual, and she does it entirely acoustic. And she's singing. She's singing.
She sounds good.
Rare.
So they have like a night sky behind her, and it has all the stars and the moon, and there's chandeliers up. It looks great. It looks amazing. Mm. One of my favorite, I think, maybe this is my favorite Ellen Show performance by Taylor. It's so good. Speak Now.
I agree.
You've given so much to us.
You gave us a lot.
So much to us. And nobody appreciated you in your time, not even Ellen DeGeneres.
But we did.
But
never
we did.
Never forget.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So that was Taylor's fifth appearance on Ellen. Fruitful, interesting, strange, some might say, but delicious nonetheless. On to Taylor's sixth Ellen appearance. This was on May 11th, 2011. She looks very cute in a floral dress. It's very Speak Now.
The hair is great here.
The hair is great. The hair is perfect.
She looks very, very good. They do their little cover girl bit because they're both cover girls at the time. This, to me, I mean, I remember at the time I thought this was the best thing in the world, and this was gift to death on Tumblr. Do you remember the gifts of this, of Taylor squinting her eyes and like trotting like a horse? It was...
Unfortunately, I do.
It was something that we unironically really enjoyed at the time.
We lived through it. So after they do this goofy thing... Naturally, the subject of how Taylor writes about her relationships comes up. Okay, great. Here we go again. Ellen says, we get to follow your relationships in your songs. Now, like I said before, watching all of these interviews back to back to back and watching Taylor's attitude to having this brought up shift and shift again and shift again as time goes on is truly fascinating. Her reaction to this being brought up is to grimace and groan. Before, she would laugh and seem really pleased with herself. Now, it seems like it embarrasses her or she doesn't like it. That's how I would read her reaction to it.
Well, at this point, outside of the Ellen Show, she's getting a lot of heat for always talking about boys and being a bad blah, blah, blah. Like, this is really when the slut shaming was really going into full effect. After the Jake Gyllenhaal breakup, I feel the pitch of the conversation about Taylor and boyfriends got really negative.
Yeah. So it's interesting that you say that because Ellen kind of shares the same sentiment as that. Ellen says, quote, imagine going through relationships when you're 21 and what that's like, much less in the public eye. And everyone gets to see pictures of it. And we get to see all of these things happen. You're living it out in front of us. And that has to be hard.
So why are you making it harder? Why are you making it harder is the question.
Well, it's the job. Listen, she
that's
is
true.
The devil's advocate.
She's messy boots.
Messy boots Ellen. So this is what Taylor says to this. Quote, I think it's obnoxious if I complain about anything.
She doesn't think
she
that now.
She was lost
she doesn't think
in
that now.
The sauce. She even makes a mockery of people, other celebrities complaining about the intrusions to their privacy. She like does a voice and mocks them. this is crazy to see her talk like this with full 2025 knowledge. You would be saying that.
It's pick me.
It is. It's
pick me celebrity.
She was doing pick me celebrity behavior. But she also says, this is the interesting part, quote, if somebody wants to hide a relationship or has privacy issues, then we don't have the same viewpoint. Because for me, it's just like, live your life. If people happen to take pictures, then you laugh about it in the car afterwards. Ellen says, so you have to be with someone that's on the same page as you in that regard. Well, yes. Now, remember, this is in the midst of Taylor writing
Rhett. Ironic.
And the breakup with Jake is an interesting line of conversation, because one of the main reasons for the downfall of Jake Taylor, I believe, is because he couldn't deal with the fame aspect of it all. And he hated those parts of their relationship, being picked apart, tabloid fodder. Think about how rarely you've ever seen Jake Gyllenhaal in tabloids before or after Taylor Swift. Never. You never see him.
Does that remind you guys of anyone? I'm just going to float that. Does it remind you of a later
It does. Jake Gyllenhaal and Joe Alwyn have more in common than we realize.
They do. All right.
They do.
What's next? What happened next? That's it, I guess. This isn't really a fruitful one.
No, that's it. No, that's it. It's pretty much just the relationship talk again. Interesting commentary on the fruits of fame. Obviously, I guess it's ironic, but I also just kind of think like, Taylor, she was in a different level of fame in Speak Now. It just wasn't the same. It's not the same as what happened in 2016. So I think she learned that everything that she just said is a load of bollocks.
A load of bollocks. Bollocks, Taylor. Up next, well, I think this is one of the best ones ever, Madeline. Certainly one of my favorite ones.
So Taylor's seventh Ellen appearance occurs on September 13th, 2011, and Ellen visits the Speak Now tour. Wow, what a moment.
What a moment.
She literally goes like backstage to see Taylor while Taylor is on tour. So it's funny that this is one of Zach's favorite ones, because I remember this as being the one where the tides kind of started to turn in regards to the Swifties' attitudes towards Ellen. Actually, in my memory, this is so weird. When I actually like saw it and I saw the date on it, I was like, okay, that's not true. But I recalled it being like right after the Jake Gyllenhaal breakup for some reason, because people acted like Ellen was really doing terrorism upon Taylor and Taylor was so sad. I don't see that now with my grown-up eyes, but I remember in 2011, people hated it.
My experience of this was, I always thought it was funny and enjoyable, and I gifted a lot. Like, my publicist told me not to answer any personal questions. I enjoyed this one.
So a lot of what Swifties took umbrage with in regards to this interview is that they felt like Taylor seemed off. I remember thinking people were reading too much into it.
But they were doing a bit, weren't they? They were literally doing a bit. Like, Ellen was, like, pretending to be a really exaggerated version of herself, and Taylor was pretending to be a really, like, you know, naive version of herself.
Plus, Taylor just, like, wasn't wearing as much makeup, so that made her seem, quote-unquote, sad.
She looked so pretty, though.
She was just doing, like, deadpan dry humor with Ellen. That's it. And people said she looks so annoyed just because you don't
know nuance. People didn't know that that was part of her humor at that point. I think she was still like, la, 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 fairy princess. But like, she's quick-witted. And that was revealed to us here.
But my favorite part is when they do a serious sit down, Ellen and Taylor, serious sit down. She says, fill in the blank. I am Taylor Swift. I am dating. And Taylor says, nobody. That was the God's honest truth.
It was true.
She was single.
She was telling the truth.
She was single. And then she says, I am Taylor Swift. I would like to be dating nobody. I am Taylor Swift, and my publicist told me not to say blank. And Taylor says, my publicist told me not to answer any personal questions. Well, perfect. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Queenie behavior.
And she even says, the last person I kissed was, and Taylor says, like an 8-year-old in the audience. And they joke around about it, hee hee, hoo hoo, hee hee. Really not much to mine here at all, but back in the day, Swifties made a massive deal out of this. They had nothing else to talk about because she really didn't have a boyfriend.
No, she had nothing. We weren't doing anything else. That was the problem.
She was single. Leave it at that.
When Taylor doesn't
move,
everybody acts weird. We know this.
Well,
we're seeing it
right
now.
It's happening right now in real time. So not much to mind from that. Just a fun, cute, entertaining episode of Ellen. Thank you so much for your service, Ellen DeGeneres. On to Taylor's eighth Ellen appearance. This occurred on October 19th, 2011. This is perhaps one of my least favorite looks.
Granny.
Granny clocked in. Granny Swift, thank you so much for being here. Not my favorite look at all. It's a red dress with 3/4 sleeves, and she wears her hair up, and it's just not right. The updo is too, like,
she looks like a senator.
She looks like a senator. Like, the way, the style of the dress, it's not working for me, girls. And
no senator
red
hair,
hadn't even
please.
Come out yet. We don't need to be doing this yet. She was doing this way too soon. So, nonetheless, she looks 45. They talk about Speak Now Tour success. They talk about Ellen coming out on the Speak Now Tour stage. Wonderstruck is just now coming out, so they're
this
promoting
that.
This
made me miss Wonderstruck so bad because she did a few appearances for Wonderstruck. Please, please,
we need it
please.
Back. It's not funny anymore. I'm not laughing.
I'm wearing the
I need
dupe
it back
today
so bad.
It's just not the same.
It's not the same.
It's good, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. How do we get it back? Taylor, are you listening?
Elizabeth
I know she
Arden.
Watches. She watches and she streams. Please, can I have it? Nonetheless, on October 19th, 2011, you could go out and purchase Wonderstruck from your local Macy's or perfume counter. I want to be there so bad. It's not funny. Mm-hmm. So they talk about that. And then they talk about the stupid thing that I forgot about for so many years. This was like a trip down memory lane. So something happened on tour. This went viral across all social media platforms. The wind blew her chiffon Speak Now dress up. And you could see the little shorts that she wears underneath her dress and many such cases. I wear
they
shorts
look like
Spanx. This under.
They're like
they
nude
literally
colored
look like
Spanx, basically. Yeah.
Yep. And everybody saw them and said, these are granny panties. Taylor Swift wears granny panties.
I can't believe that Taylor, that
laugh.
They played the video. I thought that was bad. Like, I was like, okay, I understand the video's gone viral, but do we need to play it? Because it is kind of like an exposure. I don't like that.
I too was surprised that that happened. And then I was surprised that Ellen gifted her a pair of granny panties as a joke. I was like, I'm not laughing.
No.
I'm not
Ellen
laughing.
Ellen sucks.
You see how she turns evil? You see how the evilness leaps
We're
out of her?
We're watching it happen in front of our eyes.
Whether or not the granny panties were inappropriate, Taylor remains single. And this is what she has to say about that. Quote, if you're the girl that needs a boyfriend, and then once you lose one boyfriend, you immediately get another boyfriend, and it's just a constant stream of boyfriends all the time, I don't feel like I ever want to be that girl. The call is coming
from inside the house. The call is coming from inside the house. You might not want to be, but it's – real life is a funny thing.
Real life is a funny thing. She really was – in her defense, she was single for like longer than I remembered her being between Jake and Harry. She,
yeah, this was her longest
Jake
period of singledom.
Jake Gyllenhaal rocked her world. So she was like, I'm done. I seriously just want to sit on the couch all the time. And she was right, and I support
her
100%.
Right.
So to this, Ellen says, now that's a good role model. Well.
Okay.
Well.
Is it? All right.
Whatever you want to say, Ellen. Not a very fearful appearance, but I guess you could call it interesting. I mean, it was fun to remember a time where you could go to the store and buy Wonderstruck. I need to go back to that.
It wasn't as interesting as the next appearance because this one really changed the foundation of the world. It rocked me personally. It rocked Tumblr. It rocked a lot of people. Taylor's ninth Ellen appearance, February 21st, 2012, with Zac Efron to promote the Lorax. Was this before or after the condom fell out of his pocket on the red carpet?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Probably around
the same time, at least. I can't remember. It was on the orange carpet. Remember?
All of the Lorax promo slayed. Taylor looked this, so she cut her bangs. This was the big thing. Yep. She had cut her bangs. And to me, this is the best her bangs ever looked. I loved, like, they're long, they're blow-dried straight. I think it's the right length. They're kind of shaggy. She'd just done the Vogue shoot. This was like prime bangs era for me. And what happened here was that everybody wanted Taylor Swift to date Zac Efron. I'm not gonna lie, I was a Zaylor.
I don't remember if I was a Zaylor or not. I can't remember my opinion on this. I was never really a Zac Efron fan. I never got into High School Musical.
Oh, I loved Zac Efron. He was my first celebrity crush. So this was everything to me. I was like, they have to date.
They have to. There's no other option. There's no
they
other
are dating.
Option.
So when Ellen was pressing them, I was like, yes, keep going, girl. One more question.
So speaking of that, this is when Swifties turned against Ellen. This is the fourth brick that has been stacked up on the Ellen show.
Hate.
Yep. So throughout the entire interview, like Zach said, Ellen is trying to get Zach and Taylor to quote unquote admit that they are an item. Taylor said, don't look at me. You got a girl at home and everybody knows
that.
So write that down.
Everybody knows she said that. Everybody knows that she said that.
Nonetheless, Ellen is very persistent about it and badgers it. And watching it again, it's kind of uncomfortable. So they're talking about her Grammys win, and Ellen turns the conversation into being with Zach. Like, oh, you'll be with Zach. Oh, you were with Zach when you won your Grammy.
I think they also really weren't dating. I know that some people think that they were, but they actually really weren't, which makes this so much more uncomfortable. It's actually more uncomfortable because they weren't dating.
There's rumors that you two are together. What did you guys do for Valentine's Day together? Only a girlfriend would say something like that. And it's just like on and on and on. And then she gives them shirts. And this is in the context of like, oh, Taylor, you know, it's so hard for you to go out and, you know, with a guy because everybody always thinks you're dating all these guys. So she gives them shirts. And one says lovers. One says we're just friends. One says we only hooked up once. And one said we broke up. Hilarious. Everybody laughed. Everybody did laugh, including Taylor. I'll mark that down. But
she doesn't help these allegations by being like, I taught Zach how to play guitar. That doesn't help that we're not dating allegations.
I'll admit that when I was watching it, I was like, huh, that doesn't sound like something.
And when she was like showing him the chords and like bending over and like pointing, I was a Zaylor.
I mean, it's romantic. It was romantic. They played a song called All Because of Ellen. And everybody knows the song.
Every time I come on this show, it's really weird.
And it's all because of Ellen.
Not repurposing the song about a school shooting to do your Ellen DeGeneres segment.
Is it to the tune of Pumped Up Kicks? I knew that that was the song that she taught him. I didn't clock that it's the same melody.
Oh, he has a good voice too. Zach can sing. When they were singing together, I was like, this is gorgeous.
Let's open this case. Sidebar briefly. Why did they have Drew Seeley do the vocals on High School Musical 1? Why?
The first one, I think his voice hadn't fully broken yet. And then the rest of them were all him.
So they said, okay, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. Everybody tried to cook
him for
that.
Well, we don't want to hear on the track.
No, we don't. He wasn't ready yet. Mm-mm. So then Taylor also says, every time I'm on the show, she asks me who I'm dating. This is in the song. Mm-hmm. Well.
And it's true.
Here's what I said. So I said, we have to say Taylor willfully plays into these questions as often as she finds it uncomfortable. So it's like back and forth. It's like she's willfully playing into it. And then other times it's like she's visibly pulling away from it. At this point,
I think it depends on where she is in her love life.
Right. Exactly. And so the actual brick, like the bad brick, has not yet been thrown. But I do agree with the masses that this was a deeply uncomfortable episode to watch. It was really hard to watch Ellen say that Zach and Taylor are dating over and over again and like wouldn't let it go. It's like funny the first two times, but it's like
that's what the whole interview was about. Like the whole thing. Did she ask Zac Efron a single question about anything he did? It was like, Taylor, you're dating. Thanks.
He was there to be the face. You know,
they did prank Betty White. That was good. That was a good little cute segment.
They pranked Betty White. Rest in peace. They pranked Betty White.
Let's frighten this octogenarian. Sure.
Why not? On Taylor's 10th Ellen appearance, nothing happens. This is on February 29th, 2012.
Tea with Sophia Grace and Rosie.
This was actually filmed on the same day that she came with Zac Efron. She's in the same dress and everything, so that's when it was filmed. Not much to mine. She eats cookies. They talk about cupcakes.
She's very good at talking to children. She's very good at it. It's a skill. Not everybody has it.
It's a skill. Not everybody has it. And I'm one of those people who doesn't have it.
I was going to say, I'd love to see you doing that.
No, Sophia I'm horrible, Grace, horrible, Rosie horrible, and Madeline. Horrible at it.
You little bitches, what's up?
Yeah, exactly. No, I can't do it. So Taylor's 11th Ellen appearance. This is the brick, ladies and gentlemen. October 25th, 2012. Mere days after Red's release, mind you. She's also promoting Wonderstruck Enchanted. And you know what's so funny is that I never put together that Wonderstruck Enchanted had a red bottle because of Red.
Yep.
So I never realized that. It wasn't until I saw her promoting Red the album at the same time she's promoting Wonderstruck Enchanted that I was like, oh.
I think it's because we associate Taylor by Taylor Swift with Red more, but that absolutely did happen. I think also context, before we get into it, that's important to note that Taylor revealed to us during the Red Taylor's Version promo, she was miserable promoting this album. She said she was going backstage and sobbing before going out and doing her interviews. So I think that is very good context to have as we revisit what she endured on this visit to promote this album.
This was probably the one where she sobbed the hardest. Ladies and gentlemen.
This is what she was talking about.
So before we get into that, a fun factoid about the Red Era, going from she was miserable, she was weeping into me. Mm-hmm. A fun factoid about the Red Era is that in her day-to-day fashions, she wasn't just wearing red all the time. Case in point, she is wearing orange to this Ellen appearance.
I don't know that I love this color. Orange gown. This specific
this
shade.
One's too bright. We need like a nice autumnal deep orange, like a burnt orange. Looks amazing on Taylor.
Yeah.
This was bright orange. This is a granny with it had like a golden bow in the middle. Oh my god, granny. It looks like she
has her hair
the
all the way over
business department.
To one side and it's
curled. No, she's clocking
a little
in
bit.
For her shift
it
to send
good.
Emails. This is she's her wearing curls. After school. her after school internship. That's what she looks like. And she looks beautiful, but I don't care for the dress at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and her last.
And her last.
This is the hands down worst Ellen appearance of all time. When you Google Taylor Swift, Ellen DeGeneres, you'll find that the first thing that tends to come up is something to the effect of Ellen makes Taylor extremely uncomfortable. And the interview that they're referring to is this specific interview, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what's interesting is I was watching compilation videos of every single Ellen appearance that were on the official Ellen Show YouTube, but I didn't trust them. And I always checked to make sure they weren't cutting anything out. And I discovered they edited the specific part of the interview that everyone had issues with out of the compilation video on the official Ellen DeGeneres Show YouTube. I don't blame them. It's bad.
I'm not surprised.
And it kind of like gives credence to the fact that like maybe something really bad, like it really wasn't supposed to happen the way that it happened. And I believe that Taylor did not know this was going to happen. This is the specific thing.
When
that,
she
like,
gave
oh,
her the bell.
Everybody,
I was like, please stop, please. At that moment, I was like, you're literally like kicking a puppy is what it felt like.
So what happens is, again, she brings up Zac Efron and asks Taylor what song on Red is about him. And Taylor says, songs on the album are about him because we didn't date. Here she's flouting the maxim. They didn't date. Are no songs on the album about him? Well, you tell me. But in any event, Ellen hands Taylor a bell and says, quote, ring the bell when we put a picture of a guy you dated on the screen. And the reason I think that this is an instance where Taylor wasn't 100% informed of this exact specific thing occurring to her is because when Ellen describes the game to her, she says, I don't know if I'm going to do this because this is the one thing I have, the one shred of dignity that I have, referring to the fact that she has said on that very Ellen Show stage that she will not say directly who her songs are about. I believe that she did not know this was going to happen and did not want to participate in it at all. And she doesn't. She never rings the bell. She
That's
won't
the
do
worst
it.
Part because then she, when she doesn't participate in the gag, then the gag starts to look really mean. And Ellen is like backpedaling really hard, trying to figure out how can I make her participate so I don't look bad.
So she puts up pictures of John Mayer, Justin Bieber, Joe Jonas, Zac Efron, Taylor Lautner, Danny DeVito, Justin Timberlake, Ashton Kutcher, Corey Monteith, and Rob Lowe. What's really funny about this crop of people is the only one she even kind of reacts to is Corey Monteith, and I don't know why. Out of all of them, she reacts to Corey Monteith. I can't explain to you why. She kind of does like, oh, well, and then stops. I don't know why.
I think they
it's
went
so
on a
strange.
Date. I think they went on like 2 dates. That's kind of my tea on that. They did hang out a couple times.
They did hang out a couple of times. When John Mayer comes up on the screen, she says, I don't want to do this because they'll write me angry emails and I don't want to get them. And she's mentioned angry emails in regards to John before. He's such a baby and it makes me smile. Why
write
are you so
song.
Pathetic?
Write a song.
Why are you so pathetic, little man? So then at the end of this quote unquote game or torture device, Taylor says, this makes me feel so bad about myself every time I come up here. You put like a different dude up there on the screen and it just makes me really question what I stand for as a human being. She's trying to play this off as a joke at the end here, but like in black and white, it looks pretty sad. And I think behind every JK, there is a serious.
We're here to talk about my new album and you're tormenting me by making everything about me coming all the way here to do this interview and promote my album about men that don't even have anything to do with this album.
It's not funny.
Like, how
either.
Does this like, relate back to the record? It doesn't. She's not like, is Dear John about blah, blah, blah? At least that had a tie-in with Speak Now. This was just like, let's beat Taylor up for fun.
The jokes weren't funny. I took the money. My friends from home don't know what to say. Okay, so this is like the interview that got brought up after Ellen's cancellation, specifically in regards to Taylor. This had Ellen cooked to the brim. I don't remember what we thought at the time. I can't remember.
It was kind of standard fare. Like Taylor, she was always doing this. And we also had much bigger fish to fry because this is when the Directioners started coming. This is when the American Apparel shirt came out. Like we had bigger enemies to take on.
We did. And I don't remember us mounting our seats and riding at this point, but the brick was thrown.
I want to mention, because it's not here, is the red performances that she did for Ellen. She did come back to Ellen and do like a whole, they built her a whole stage on like the soundstage of the lot where they film Ellen. And they had the album cover behind. And she did We Are Never. She did You Belong With Me. She did Red. And she did Begin Again. And the performances are so, so good. She's wearing like a button-down white shirt and her high-waisted black shorts and little red shoes. Mm. And that is the that performance specifically, the one of We Are Never, is so good.
Delicious. I love the outfit too, because that one was so red era coded. There's a when she's doing the hipster thing, I'm like, oh my God, that's red. When she's wearing her orange granny dress, I don't see the red girl.
That to I don't me see was the just her personal red. Style at the time the album was coming out. It doesn't reflect the record to me, hopefully. Like no, what she wore for State of Grace on the X Factor, her little hat.
Yep. So cute. Absolutely love to see cute. It. There's the biggest gap between appearances between the torture of the bell ringing game and the 12th Ellen appearance. It's hard to not think that that has any correlation to, I mean, she didn't want to go back. She didn't want to go back for a time.
And why would she? Would
I guess you?
You
could argue.
Would you go back to the smack cam? I wouldn't.
No. She does return for a 12th Ellen appearance on October 27th, 2014. So you see, it's a pattern for Taylor to materialize on Ellen for album releases, or it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was until a certain event occurred. But nonetheless, 1989 has just come out. This is the worst outfit of all time. She looks like a fool. I do like the top. Like, it looks good. Like, her talking head shot looks good. But the skirt with it and
when
then
she
the
stands
hair
up.
Is kind of – it's too bowly. You remember when the 1989 cut went bowl cut? Mm-hmm. There was like a certain period of time. Like if she straightened it, it would look like a bowl on top of her head. And it looked ridiculous.
This wasn't good. The performance outfit also wasn't very good.
No. The performance outfit is black sparkly shorts and then a black top that has unicorns on it. She was really leaning into like, I'm the weird girl. I'm Lisa Frank.
I'm just like
Lisa
you.
Frank. Do you guys have a Lisa Frank pencil box? Like that was like how she was trying to project herself.
To counteract the girl boss life at all.
Exactly. I mean, it kind of worked. It kind of worked a little bit. It brought her back down to a human level to see her wearing something mm-hmm. so hideous. I will mm-hmm. say that. So they call this the 13th appearance. Was the 12th appearance her doing the red show then?
Maybe so, because that was a separate occasion, I want to say.
When was that? Because I didn't see anything about that on the Ellen YouTube.
It was release week or around then. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, so it was in the same time period as the interview. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Weird. Okay. So anyway, they call it her 13th appearance. So I guess I believe them. But I let them cook. So this is actually a really good Ellen appearance. There's not much to mine, but it's a really good interview and it's really fun. This is the first time we see Olivia the cat, which is amazing. She's adorable, cute. Everybody likes her. They play the cutest video of her where she's like stretched out asleep, like right on Taylor's shoulder, and she puts her paws on Taylor's face.
She's
it's
a really
so
cute cat.
She's a really cute freaking kitten. So we talk lots of 1989. Ellen says her favorite song is Out of the Woods, which I find interesting. Okay, Ellen Cook, she has a fave. We talk about the secret sessions. They talked about that for a long time, of course, because at the time this was something brand new. Nobody had ever done it before, and it was so iconic. You talk about her time on The Voice. I forgot she did that. I forgot about that.
Me too.
But
she
was on The Voice.
Has the wrong temperament to do that show as well. She's too nice. She couldn't
she
be a constructive judge.
Way too nice. We talk about her fear of sea urchins, which is what I remember the most.
Yes,
her fear
that was
of
the
being
headline.
Framed. Oh. Yeah, she's scared of being framed. I love it when she says, so many people would frame me, because it's true.
It's true.
And they did.
It's true.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the messed up part
almost.
Of it. They talk about tour. They do mega fan stuff. She meets fans, blah, blah, blah. And then they do this kitty corner segment that's like incredibly lame, but it's pretty cute.
I couldn't watch that. That was too embarrassing for me.
This appearance and the next one are about cats a little bit too much, and it's really embarrassing to see it all like lined up like that. Like, you guys are really lame. And this
there,
isn't
surely
like, not
there's
even
something
lame.
Else. Well, no. With the lover appearance, she had nothing to share, so they were really scraping the barrel of things to talk about.
Were.
It was cats.
They were. At no point on October 27, 2014, on the Ellen stage, are boyfriends mentioned.
You
it's
see
kind
how
of
that
hard
works.
To ignore that. It's really hard to ignore that. Like,
well, it was Tay North Korea. It was Tay North Korea at this point. It was you ask the questions that we tell you to ask, or that's it. She's mm-hmm. not coming.
Period.
She doesn't have to.
To that end, she performs Shake It Off in her horrible outfit. The look is a mess. She sounds good.
The
I was
look
like, oh,
is a
she
mess.
She sounds okay.
She does Out of the Woods too. The staging is a little weird because it's in like the normal Ellen stage, and then they just randomly add a catwalk, and there's people just kind of clustered around it. I thought that was weird, but I mean, she sounds good.
She sounds good. I think they were really trying to ham up the fans thing. Like, this is all about the fans. You know what I mean? The secret session.
Yeah.
The fans can come right by the stage and blah, blah, blah.
And at this point, she had butchered Shake It Off enough times that she finally got it right.
It sounded great. It sounded great. I liked it. I cheered. So after this, she was not on Ellen again for 4 years. So that was because it was rep era. Lest mm-hmm. we forget. But the lack of boyfriend talk, not even a little quip, girls, not even. And this was Harry Styles. You know, she was Ellen was
so
like
salivating.
Backstage biting a bar of soap to keep herself from talking about it.
She wanted to mention the word
so
style.
Bad.
She wanted
she
to
did.
Talk about
and
it.
She kept herself in check. Somebody whipped her. Somebody told her, they cracked the whip.
She was invited one more time to come with Taylor on tour, and she came for the 1989 tour. They did a little segment on that where Taylor teaches her to strut, and she has her own Taylor Swift-inspired outfit, and that's the gag, I guess.
That's the gag. That's all there is to it. So Taylor's 13th and final Ellen appearance occurs on May 15th, 2019. This is for Lover promo. Keep in mind, Lover had not come out yet and would not come out for 3 more months.
You know what's really interesting? Going to promote an album that you won't say the title of, you won't give a release date for, and you won't give a second single for.
I don't know what she was thinking.
It's really,
when you show up,
why are you here? What's the point? Why wouldn't you just wait until it closer to the time?
She shows up in the world's most baffling outfit, too. Yes. I like the colors.
With blue in her hair for the Teen Vogue party. We liked that.
Yes. The colors of the dress were cute. I like the ombre effect. But it's like kind of like a ruffle pattern, and it's like a tank top sleeve with off the shoulder effect. It looks
like two dresses at the same time.
It made me question everything. She looks tan.
I like
tan.
The hair.
She's mm-hmm. tan.
She's
she looks
blonde.
Beautiful. Barbie.
And
she's
tan.
She's Barbie. She's blonde and tan. So I personally liked the blue in the hair thing. I liked the dip dye mm-hmm. thing during Lover, but I think thinking about it now with all the hindsight, I think it would have been really cute for 1989. But by the time she was doing it for Lover, it kind of felt like, isn't this a little young?
It contributed to the Hello Fellow Kids of it all, which is
yeah.
exactly what she was trying to
do. It did. You know, and I mean, for some people it worked, for some people it didn't. I'll leave it at that. So they discuss the fact that Taylor hasn't been on the show for a while, for entire years. And so this leads into a discussion about Reputation. And recall, this was a big deal for her to talk about Reputation, because during Reputation, it was there will be no explanation, there will only be Reputation. And strangely, one of the most fruitful things that the Lover era gave us was Taylor talking about Reputation.
Thank you,
finally.
Lover.
Finally! Thank you, Lover. You did one thing right. At least I did one
thing
right.
Did one
thing
right.
So Taylor says about Reputation, I wanted to just make music and not explain it. And she has kept doing that for all time ever since then.
That's how it is. That's the way. We wish it would stop being that way.
No, can you imagine if there was a Tortured Poets Ellen appearance? Zach, that would put some of these people in a mental hospital. Like, they couldn't handle it.
It would, no. That's why she can't. She can't speak
she
because
can't.
They get too upset.
No, she can't. They get too upset. So after this, they start talking Easter eggs,
enough.
Specifically the
enough.
Me music video.
Enough. I
and
don't
I'd
want
like
it.
To point out, even when they talk about the Me music video and talk about Brendon Urie, Ellen doesn't even make a quip about Brendon and Taylor dating.
Well, she's with Joe.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing that she doesn't say anything, nothing. After all of the years that she's bringing up all of this stuff, they definitely told her you're not allowed to talk about that anymore. They put
yeah,
a cage
for sure.
on Ellen. They caged her up. They leashed her.
That's why she didn't go on when the album title came out, because the album is called Lover and it's very specifically about a person. And I don't think Ellen would be able to resist then. I think she actually couldn't contain herself. So they had to put her on before Lover was even a twinkle in her eye.
So as a result of that, they mostly just talk about cats.
It's not pointless.
Not in the movie. Cats, the meow.
It's
meow, cats
meow. And Taylor reveals that she drinks a glass. She likes white wine. Like, thanks. Who cares?
And then there's this moment. This made me itchball, like LOL. During the segment, they do burning questions. And one of the questions is, what are your favorite shows? And Taylor starts listing, like off the top of her head, Downton Abbey, Killing Eve, Game of Thrones. And then out of nowhere, she just tacks on Queer Eye. As if we could probably forget. It's pride. Lover is pride. As if we could
it's
forget.
Pride.
As mm-hmm. if we could forget. And
no one has ever said that was their favorite show, by the way. Not a single person in this world.
This gagged me. She said that her first kiss was with Drew. I thought they didn't date. I thought her first boyfriend was Sam or Corey.
She says they never dated.
So
girl,
what is this lie? Is it a lie
is
or is it the truth? So what is the truth,
that's
Ellen?
Not true,
actually,
Ellen.
Actually, that's
literally
not the truth, Ellen.
What is the truth, Ellen?
So then this I did think was like one of the few interesting things we got out of this whole show. So Taylor says that her favorite movie is Someone Great. And she says she watched Someone Great in the last week. Now, I don't know about you, but
we
I don't think
that
Death
one
by
is
a Thousand
lie.
Cuts was written 3 months before the album
no.
came out. Case closed.
We,
it's not
we
true.
We knew that was a lie before we even knew that Jover was a twinkle in Taylor's eye. So, sorry. Case closed.
Case closed. Unfortunately, there's really not much to mine. For a final Ellen appearance, this is very anticlimactic and very uneventful. It's Lover. It's Jover. It's Lover. What do you want me to tell you? But it's not their fault. They didn't know it would be the last. In May 2019, there were a lot of things that were on the horizon that we did not know about, girls. And that was the last time that Taylor was on Ellen. There are no further appearances because in 2020, at the height of the pandemic, Ellen is canceled. Canceled, canceled.
Yeah,
her fully. As a person, canceled. The show ultimately would be canceled too, but... she also
I think the show was over at this point as well. Like, I think culturally we had moved on from that, like with those daytime talk shows. Right. Like Kelly Clarkson's show had started. I think Ellen had really been usurped. Like, she had done her thing for long enough and given what it needed to give, and then we needed to move.
Period. So here's why Ellen was canceled. So these are quotes from the article that announced her cancellation. So, quote, Ellen DeGeneres has built her worldwide multi-million-dollar brand on the motto, be kind, with lavish giveaways and acts of charity. But behind the scenes, current and former employees on her leading daytime show say they faced racism, fear, and intimidation. That be kind bullshit only happens when the cameras are on. It's all for show, one former employee told BuzzFeed News. I know they give money to people and help them out, but it's for show. BuzzFeed News spoke to one current and 10 former employees on the Ellen DeGeneres show, all of whom asked to remain anonymous, fearing retribution from the award-winning NBC daytime talk show and others in the entertainment industry. They said they were fired after taking medical leave or bereavement days to attend family funerals. One employee, who claimed she was fed up with comments about her race, essentially walked off the job. Others said they were also instructed by their direct managers to not speak to DeGeneres if they saw her around the office. DeGeneres' former bodyguard also recently said he had had a negative experience with her at the 2014 Oscars, calling the TV host's treatment of others demeaning. There have been rumors for years about DeGeneres being difficult and how many employees feel happy. And then they say this. In March, comedian Kevin T. Porter shared a Twitter thread asking people to share the most insane stories you've heard about Ellen being mean. The tweet has more than 2,600 replies. I'd like to see some, but they don't share any. But they do say, I think it is a lot of smoke and mirrors when it comes to the show's brand, a former employee said. They pull on people's heartstrings. They do know that's what's going to get likes and what people are going to go for, which is a positive message. But that's not always reality. So case in point, be kind was fake.
It was
fake. And she's
evil. I have it on good authority too, firsthand authority, that she is an absolute menace and terror to work with on set. She is mean. She is nasty. She yells. She screams at people. The not looking at her in the eye is completely real. She will sit in her car. She won't even go into her trailer. She'll sit in her car and scream at her wife. She'll call people on her phone. Like, she is impossible to work with. And that is very incongruous with who you purport yourself to be as the be kind lady. So I think Ellen deserved to get canceled, to be honest, because it was years and years of this behavior behind the scenes. And it's honestly, I'm miraculous that it didn't come to the forefront sooner.
And I think that the thing about this particular cancellation and why it seems to have kind of stuck is because there's an element of deceit involved. Where it's like, you told us for years you're kind, you practice kindness, you encourage kindness, you live with generosity and kindness and lead with empathy. And meanwhile, it's all a mask for something that's the exact opposite going on behind the scenes. People really don't like feeling like they've been made fools of.
Hypocrisy.
They do not like that. They hate
people
hypocrisy.
People really hate hypocrisy.
It's probably one of the things that can really get you canceled for a long time. People had the time to do this cancellation too because it was July 2020. We had nothing going on. I did personally, and so did you because it was folklore. But the world at large had nothing going on. They were ready to cancel somebody, and Ellen was first on the docket.
And yet, even though she was canceled, the show did go on for a little bit longer, and there was a whole goodbye Ellen gone too soon kind of parade where the biggest guests from, you know, her tenure as a host came back onto the show to reminisce and bid their goodbyes, and Taylor Swift was notably absent.
Mm-mm.
She was
She's
on it so
that.
Much. Like, if anyone should have been there, Taylor really should have been there. Kim Kardashian showed up, but she'll go up to the opening of an envelope, so...
Well, the fact that she didn't, I think, says a lot. And I think we know what it says. I didn't even mention this. Ellen was in the You Need to Calm Down video. Oh, I did mention that, didn't I?
She was in the You Need to Calm Down video. So what changed? Well, optics. Taylor was like, sorry, even if I do feel good about this, even if I do still like you, this is bad for my career. So sorry.
Yeah, she really didn't need bad press during Lover.
She was good.
She was all good.
Well, I think that's it. I think that is the Bone Collector's recap. Wonderful job, Madeline. Many bones collected, many bones buried, many bones unburied, robbed from the grave.
It was amazing. I enjoyed it. I had a really fun time doing it. It was honestly memory lane, and it was so interesting, again, to watch them back to back. You got to kind of like watch her sort of evolve. It was the evolution of a snake. You see how that works?
It was the evolution
It all
of
comes
a snake.
Back to the evolution of a snake. You see how that works?
If you have any suggestions for Tay Rewind episodes, we would love to hear them. Please leave them in the comments. Is there a particular period of time, an interview, a phenomenon you want us to uncover? We would love to hear it. And don't forget evolutionofsnake.com for everything that you need. Tickets to the live show, dynasty.tv, tickets to the live streamed live show, merch. It's all there waiting for you to go and get it.
And we're waiting for you too.
Mm-hmm. We are. Goodbye.